The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 94 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the membership director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again on another episode of Wealth Talk.
Yes, chilly morning that we're recording this, but full of beans, as always, when we get together. And today we have invited George Choi to be our guest. And George is someone who's a friend of Wealth Builders. And Kevin, I believe you also made a contribution to one of his books, didn't you?
I did. George, as I'm sure you'll mention, has written a couple of books. He's got an interesting background. Listen out for that. Like many wealth builders, you know, listen out for the catalyst. Listen out for what he says and try and see if you can hear the wealth lessons built in there. But yes, a true friend of Wealth Builders and always keen to tell other people about the holistic nature of what we do. He focuses very specifically, at least in terms of his teachings, probably more on property than anything else, which we know is a very popular asset. So listen for that. But he does dive into some of the other aspects of the Wealth Builder journey. Look out for debits, look out for leverage, look out for many things. So just see what you see, you fellow Wealth Builders. Listen to the stories and see if you can discern the lessons.
Yeah. And it's, always nice to hear someone reaching such a milestone as financial independence, Kevin, because as we often say, it's, a privilege of the 5% of people in the UK and, such a sad statistic that, Kevin. But listening to people such as George sharing very honestly and openly hopefully can help a few more people reach that elusive 5%.
Mm. Well, that's a mission for Wealth Builders, isn't it, to try and impact. I mean, okay, we're not going to impact millions and millions and millions because we know it takes commitment to create wealth. It doesn't happen automatically. And luckily, George changed his tack because like many people who are really great at earning a living, and George came from a very high-income job, there's a natural tendency for those in high-income jobs or even good businesses, where the lifestyle is being fueled by the business at a high income level. It's so, so difficult, Chris, when people get locked into that. As their income expands, their expenses expand, their debts expand, and the chains kind of get stronger and stronger, binding them to that illusion of security. And this is the big challenge. And look, we heard from Ivor Bennett, one of our members who came from a high income job and is making something, very different about that, trying to completely eliminate that. And we're really touching the hearts and minds of many of the City of London people now. We see that as a group of people. And like George, high income guy and difficult and had to wrestle very hard with himself. And, sometimes in order to be wealthy, you've got to stop, take stock and find a bit of the pain to act as a catalyst to move you forward. And, it's all interesting stuff, and I'm sure everybody will enjoy George's contribution today.
Yeah, so let's head on over and listen to our conversation with George Choi. George, very warm welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And we're going to be hearing your journey to financial independence. So it's not just your journey, is it? It's you and your wife. Quite a milestone, because I know your wife, Sarah, was not even age 40 by the time you hit that financial independence. So, great, great story. So before we really dive into the how, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I'm George Choi, property investor and author of two books, Retire Now and Stealth Millionaire. We're mainly accumulators. We like to, well, I'm the accumulator. I like to accumulate property. after we became financially free, we spent some time just doing whatever we wanted. Very focused on self-gratification, and coming out the end of that, after about 6 months, we suddenly felt unfulfilled. And it's a weird thing when you, you know, if you're chasing this goal of financial freedom, I'm sure most of your listeners are, when you get there, you think, well, what do I do now? You almost feel like you're like a ship in the sea with no compass, and you really have no clue what to do. It took us a while. It was a bit of trial and error, really, to work it out. And it seemed that it was only once we did some Tony Robbins training that we really realized what was missing. So, you know, one of the things he says is that there are two key things, or three key things. One is love and connection you should focus on. And we already have that because Sarah and I have been together for about 25 years. So we do everything together. And we've got two young children as well. So we were okay on that part. Then when it came to growth, that's the next thing, growth. Are you developing as a person, both in your business life, in your personal life? It's not just about learning, but doing something. You know, are you taking action and expanding your boundaries? And we weren't doing that at all because we were just enjoying life and that was it. And the third thing is contribution. So how are you contributing? You know, are you helping other people? Are you donating to charity? What is it you're doing? You can get a good feeling when you do that, when you help someone. You feel good about doing that. So it kind of brings it back to you. One of the things that we do now is we donate profits from our business, not all the profits, some of the profits from our business, we donate to feed UK children and their families that can't afford to buy food. And one of the reasons for that is because Sarah and I had a period a while ago where we almost couldn't afford to eat. We were just making sure we could pay the mortgages and the bills. That was it. So we could do that, and then we could barely afford any food. So we were, you know, really beans and rice. That was basically what we ate almost every day, beans and rice, because it was cheap. So because of that what happened to us, that's why we feel quite passionate about doing that as well. So yeah. Contributing there, and we also help people, train them and mentor them.
Yeah. So just so our listeners get some context then on the journey, you mentioned there was a time where, you know, it was really tough times. And yeah. when are we talking? How many years back was that?
Whew. I really don't remember. I just remember going through it. Maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. And were you generating any asset income? I mean, it sounds like you probably weren't at that point, right? But, you know, what was the first steps? How did you begin thinking about actually assets and, you know, getting out of the corporate life, which I think you were working full time, yeah. Were you?
Yeah. 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 So I was working full time in a corporate role, and it's sort of, you know, long hours, you know, get up really early, go to London, come home really late, go to bed. Yeah. And then, you know, Sunday travel. So you can get to a meeting early for 9 a.m. So it was basically a six day a week job. And, you know, really high work pressure, really high. And it pushed me, you know, into an utter depression. So I was, you know, I had no joy of going to work, and life lost its joy. It just seemed, you know, what was life worth it anymore? Because, you know, if I traveled, which sounds glamorous to some people, but, you know, it's basically go to the airport on your own, sit in the airport on your own, go on a plane on your own, sit in a hotel room on your own, go to a meeting, come back to the hotel room on your own. So it's kind of a life like that. And, you know, it felt quite lonely. And this is, you know, it almost doesn't make sense because, you know, I had a wife and I had two young children at the time, very young, you know, young children. It got me so depressed. I remember just like when I walked, I would walk looking at my shoes the whole time. And at night I would kind of like curl up into the fetal position, just trying to block out the world and wish it wasn't there. And it you know, it crossed my mind quite a few times about, you know, ending my life and just, because we just couldn't cope with it anymore. So that was my lowest point, really.
So we, you know, the first step that we really talk about with, you know, anyone who wants to embark on the journey of building wealth is get clear on your why. And sometimes it takes a catalyst, which, you know, may or may not have been that moment for you, George. And often that catalyst is not a nice time in someone's life, but it is the turning point where someone says enough is enough. Was that kind of the situation you found yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, we had a long conversation with my wife Sarah, and we were in a ball pit, and the kids were playing, and we were chatting in the cafe, and she basically said, you know, your job's killing you. You need to quit. And I had nothing to go to. We did already have some property at this point, so I'll just point that out. You know, it was quite a scary thing, you know, quitting your regular income, regular paycheck. And it's not something that I advise other people to do now. but unless they're in my situation, that if you just can stomach your job, if it's okay, then keep going with your job. You know, build your parachute before you jump. But that was the turning point for me. So she managed to talk me around, show me that life was worth living again, and that we needed to make a change. And she almost gave me permission that I could jump. Because I guess I felt, you know, I think most men do, that they feel like you're the breadwinner, you have to earn the money. And if you don't earn the money, then how do you survive? You know? So she gave me that permission and you know, I jumped, quit my job. And then, you know, we asked ourselves this question. We said, if you put a gun to your head and had to become financially free in 6 months, how would you do it? And that really stuck with me. And then it became a journey of research. So yeah. It was like, okay, what is it going to take?
And can I just ask you at this point, George, because it's really important at the beginning to get clear on exactly how much you need to be financially secure, and then how much is actually independence for you. So did you have those figures in mind? Did you set a target?
We didn't set a target at the time. That's something I ask people to do now. And we didn't have any idea of our outgoings at the time either. So we hadn't looked at that situation, and that was part of the reason why we weren't financially free, because we weren't focusing on the numbers.
Mm. So what happened then?
So, you know, we went through a period of research, like looking at other people and seeing, you know, who has actually become financially free, who can we find reported that's become financially free? How did they actually do it? How could you get into their mindset? So, you know, modeling these people. Because, you know, as Tony Robbins says, success leaves clues. So if you can follow what they do, how they think, if you can even buy your way into them, you know, buy your way into the world. So if they've got training or mentoring or anything, you can buy your way in. That's another way to get closer to that person rather than just watching from the outside. It highlighted a number of key things that we needed to do. And one was definitely focusing on our personal finances and looking at that and seeing, you know, what would we need to do in order to get that freedom. Now, when we eventually, we were a bit slow on this take up. We went through this period of, we call it expense optimization, where we reduced our cost of living. So we looked through all of our expenses, reduced that. We looked for more ways to become tax efficient, so you can keep more of what you earn. And we also spent more wisely. So found, it's possible to get more, you know, more out of your money if you spend differently. You know, you can get twice as much instead of. So a simple example would be, I had a wealthy friend, and I would be going to a unisex hair salon to get my hair cut, and he would be going to the barbers to get his hair cut at a third of the price, and he was actually wealthier than me. And another example, we would go out and buy brand new boxes of Lego for our children. He would go and buy bags of Lego for his children off eBay. So he was getting more for his money. We would go and buy brand new cars. So, you know, with cash, he would be going by and buying 3-year-old cars and then putting his private plate on it. So it took us ages to kind of work out, oh yeah, I see what he's doing. He's making the same money go further. You know, why buy one thing? You can buy 3 things if you think about it differently. So we made some of those changes. And then when we finally got around to working out our expenses, we basically retired in like a weekend. It was just 2 days. when we actually went through and we went, okay, so if we cut out that bill, swap this to that, swap this, and so on, went all the way down the list, actually, and I remember Sarah, she said, why are we still working? That was the first thing she said.
Yeah.
So it was just 2 days.
Yeah. And I know when we've spoken recently, George, that, you know, that's not the you're not the only people who've had that light bulb moment. I know that you had one of your clients as well. And a similar story there, right?
Yeah. So she had three properties. She took one of my courses, and exactly the same thing. At the end of the 2 days, she went, wait a minute, these numbers can't be right. And then she showed them to one of her friends. She said, just check these numbers, check them. She went, they're right. You don't need to work anymore. Yeah. So it is amazing when you focus on the numbers, you know, it's because there was no focus on that goal to get there before.
Yeah.
So it, rather than wishing it, because previously it was just, oh, maybe I'll retire at 60 instead of 65, you know. So with that focus, we made it.
Yeah. And when you talk about, you know, kind of reviewing your finances, cutting back, I mean, you weren't living, you know, a kind of frugal lifestyle. You still had a nice car, you know, and you know, so it's just managing your finances, being clear and aware of what's coming in and what's going out. That's the key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because we were living in a house that was worth 685,000. We had a 42,000 pound Land Rover sitting on our drive, brand new. So, you know, we're eating out a couple of times a week, going on holidays. So, by just reoptimizing our expenses and getting better at becoming more tax efficient, it made such a big difference. So you're basically kind of doubling your money near enough.
Yeah. So, and how are you now continuing to kind of build wealth? Are you, continuing with property? Are you diversifying across other pillars as well?
So we still have our property portfolio, and, you know, I'm from the Wealth Dynamics, I'm an accumulator, so I like to hold on to these things. So we have buy-to-lets, rent-to-buys, commercial property. We also lend on developments as well. So that's another stream. And then we have some training, and we try to keep this as passive as we can. So occasionally we might do something live, but most of our courses are online, because, you know, one of our thing is time freedom. You know, that the rich are one of the few people that realize that time is actually the most valuable asset, because it's something you can't get back. So for us, we enjoy the free time to learn to grow and contribute and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, obviously, you have children. So how important is it that, you know, you're educating your children? I know they're probably still young at the moment, but the legacy aspect is one that's really important for our members as well, is not just building up the money that can be passed on, but the knowledge, the wisdom, the lessons as well.
Well, I did give them a copy of my book, but they managed to trash it in a couple of days. I also gave them an audiobook copy, but they prefer Harry Potter at the moment. It is something, I mean, my son is quite interested in cars and buildings. He's always drawing like floor plan layouts. So yesterday he drew a fish and chip shop. So he drew the front of the fish and chip shop. He drew like a little logo on it. And then inside he drew the floor plan with all the right symbols for opening, you know, doors opening and windows and the counters and the cooker and so on. So he does have his other thing is he's interested in cars. So he might end up wasting all his money on cars. So it's hedging our bets on that. Something, you know, I'd love my children to get into it because I've seen what it can do for us. And, you know, for their legacy, you know, they will come into our SaaS when they're old enough. SaaS we've got with Wealth Builders. So, yeah.
And for people listening now, I'm sure they will be inspired by your story. And for many people, they'll be, you know, right at the start of their wealth building journey, perhaps just generating some of their first recurring income from assets, or maybe not even yet at that stage. What would be kind of, you know, two or three top tips that you could give to those people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is to be, you know, be very clear on your values and what you like and don't like and what you want to achieve. Because, you know, a lot of new investors, they see all the shiny pennies everywhere. It's like, oh, this looks exciting. Oh, you know, commercial looks exciting. Buy-to-let looks exciting. Rent-to-buy looks exciting. Service accommodation looks exciting. And then they just get distracted, and then nobody does anything. So I think that's the first thing. Be really clear on what your values are, what strategies you're drawn towards, your overall objectives, and then really focus on it and make it a top goal. Because that's the only way we became financially free in the end, focusing on achieving that.
Yeah. And I know you've kind of put the blueprint into a book. You've got two books, George. So why don't you just tell our listeners about those two books in case they'd like to check those out.
So we've got Retire Now, which has got a nice testimonial from Kevin Whelan in there. So this is basically our property journey. So part of this is just the journey that we took, you know, all the houses we bought. So you can see step by step and, you know, the mistakes we made. So it's kind of a warts and all book. And then kind of the second half of it is all about reducing your expenses, improving your credit score, the different types of assets that you can invest in, and some of the property strategies in there. So that's basically what that is. And I've always had loads of good feedback about this.
Yeah. And now you've got another book as well.
I have. Stealth Millionaire, How to Save Money and Manage Your Money Like the Rich. So I wrote this during COVID because, you know, I know a lot of people are having financial difficulty. And I thought, okay, well, I know what we do in terms of managing our finances, but what do other people do? So I interviewed some other millionaires and I said, okay, you know, let's try and work out what are the common habits that we all have and the things that are simple that anyone could do. And after doing that, well, when I was speaking to them, nobody thought there would be anything that could be shared and would be useful. So everyone thought exactly the same thing. You know, we're unique, there's going to be nothing. And it turned out we're all the same.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story today, being very candid. And I really hope that our listeners will take some inspiration from that and believe that achievement, that milestone, financial independence is there for all of us if you get focused and some of the lessons that you shared today. So George, thanks for being a great guest. If someone wants to connect with you online, where's the one place that they should head to?
Sure. If you go to mycastleproperty.co.uk, that's our website. And from there, you can get to our podcast, our books, our courses, and everything.
Sounds great. George, thanks very much.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, lots of points for us to pick up on there, Kevin. But before we do that, why don't we hear from one of our latest reviewers? And this week, chosen Richard, who's left us a review on Google. And Richard says, if you're interested in escaping the rat race and creating a bulletproof wealth strategy, then look no further than Wealth Builders. Kevin and Christian together make a formidable team. Wealth Builders delivers massive upfront value and truly want you to succeed in your wealth creation journey. The simple step-by-step approach and accountability system helps keep you on track. They provide education, connections, and guidance within a supportive community of like-minded individuals, and I would highly recommend them as they are an organization underpinned by Kevin's complete integrity.
Do you know what? How can you not say wow to that? You know, it's another... Really, I feel blessed. You know, I know Richard very well. You know, successful optician, isn't he? And like many professions, and like George, you know, the difficulty is when you're successful in your job, as he said, I think the header of there was escape the rat race. And I think that's probably what often people refer to it as, isn't it, Chris, when they get caught up in a tyranny of the routine of what they do every day to make the money in their jobs or in their businesses. And I think if we you know, dial in back to George, you know, we talked at the earlier on about the fact he was, you know, a long-standing high earner, and for that reason it was a tough gig for him to make the change. And you could probably hear that in the challenges that he and his wife had to face. And you know, I really have a lot of time for George. He's a very nice guy. He's a good teacher, actually. Like all good teachers, you know, if you read his books, and I would encourage you to do that, he's a fan of an acronym, Chris. He likes that, a bit like me with debits and first and all those things. So you know, I kind of going to pick a bit of alliteration for the summary for George. I'd say, you know, he was candid, you know, bared his soul a bit there, didn't he, really? He was clear about his catalyst. He had a crisis, you know, a low point, let's say, but then came out committed. So, you know, I'll just say that George is a great example of how to, not necessarily, you don't need to reach a low point, but you need a catalyst, right? Everybody needs a catalyst, something that stimulates them to overcome inertia that holds people to where they are. And, you know, I'm so glad that George had the humility to open up the story to other people so they could see that he was a vulnerable guy and reached a low point. So, you know, congratulations to George for being so sharing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was at that turning point, really, where his wife Sarah asked him, what would it take to become financially independent? And that really, you know, was the shining light that they then focused on. And George described it as a process of expense optimization, which was, you know, really looking at how to spend their money more wisely, but also keep more of what they were making.
Mm. I mean, look, I think there's value in reducing expenses, but and I think that's integral to his program and to ours with debits. But I think it's a good place to start. That's why we have it in the foundational element of our program, Chris. But you can't save your way to wealth, right? And I think George would admit that too. You could tell because he's gone on to create assets. But saving your way just gets you to a point where you can actually, maybe for the first time, realize if you can get your expenses to a level where genuinely you know that's what you need, then you're in a position where actually financial independence, at least security anyway, doesn't look that far away. You know, for many people, if they sat down and looked at that and said, well, hey, you know, my expenses are X, you know, whatever, $1,000 a month, then it might not be that difficult to get to a place where at least you didn't have to work. You might not have everything you wanted, but that's the level of financial security. So I think definitely George focused on that together with his wife, Sarah, and they used that as a springboard to then go on and build assets, didn't they?
Yeah, and across multiple pillars, as is often the way when people hit security. And I know I've heard you say recently to our members, Kevin, about just focus on one wheel turn, you know, get really good at one asset, one strategy, and, you know, have your eye on other things, but get yourself to security as quickly as possible. And then when you get to security, you can diversify across other pillars from there.
Yes, and the reason for that, Chris, just for clarification here, is the biggest form of leverage of all. If we've talked this morning about the rat race and the tyranny of routine, as I refer to it, it's the time that you spend trading time for money that sucks your energy. You know, just think about those city guys and girls who used to spend hours and hours and hours commuting and long distances in some cases. Now they're not doing that so much. So they should have time. So it's the time that gives permission for all the other forms of leverage to take place. It's the time freedom, a little chink of time light that allows you to soak up the education, that allows you to be willing to do something when ordinarily you were so drained of time. The last thing you wanted to do after getting home from a long day and a long commute, you know, was to settle down to look at your debits. You just wanted to settle down with a glass of something just to, you know, unwind the spring, really.
So now, obviously, George and Sarah have achieved their independence, Kevin. They're now looking at, you know, more meaningful impacts that they can have on others. And George talked about, you know, feeding others as well there.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with actually giving on the journey. A lot of people do it that way, don't they? It's almost sometimes we see people willing as they begin to start their wealth journey, that part of that is giving. You know, the whole concept of building your wealth in jars, you know, creating or bank accounts in jars, where some of that is giving for some reason. And that's fine. And we always applaud people for whatever decisions they make to help. But the lesson that I would pull out of that, just so people were unclear where George's independence came from, you know, they've done property. Right, so we know that's pillar number four. They've created a SaaS, pillar number two. He's written books and they've got courses, which is IP, which is pillar number six. And he's collaborated and they've collaborated with other people, which is pillar number seven. So if you think about what they've done, they have focused on, you know, usually one thing and then diversify into others as the time freedom kicks in and allows you. And that's actually when the time freedom does kick in and financial independence. That's when most people become more philanthropic because they've got the time to consider that. And I think we've heard a consistent theme from a lot of our guests that at some point, giving back to society in whatever way that would be is an important part of their reason why. And that's a good thing. So, you know, reconnect with your own thoughts. So what would you do if you were completely financially independent, you had more money coming in than, you know, you needed to spend every month? What is your higher purpose? What else do you want to do that gives back to society or the world in some way? And just see if that resonates with you and see what comes out of your mind when you think about that. Because for people who work in the program, Chris, we know that they will make it on the journey provided they keep turning wheels, they keep doing what we ask them to do. It's a 3 to 7 year journey, so typically five. And I would encourage anybody to put up with some of the pain of self-analysis, some of the pain of having to go through possibly a low point, some of the pain of interrupting your current pattern of how you do things. Because if you can do it in 5 years, and some people do in less, like George, but if you can do it in 5 years, then you're free financially, intellectually, in all other ways for the rest of your life. And I think that's a laudable thing to do. So, you know, have a think about that, you guys out there, and see whether or not you're willing to commit in 2021 to making this year the year you start your journey to financial independence. And for those who are regular listeners already on the journey, I commend you for taking the journey. Stick with it. We're still in troubled times, but we're here to help and support and hopefully inspire you to keep going, and look forward to helping many more people in the coming weeks and months ahead, Chris.
Yeah. And one of those places, if you're not already in there, is our Wealth Builders Facebook community. So you can join for free. Just head to Facebook and search for Wealth Builders. And there's lots of comments in there. And Kevin and myself, we're both in there answering questions when we can as well. So yeah, it's been another good episode. Really interesting listening to George's story there. And I think we'll be inviting more people throughout this year to share their stories as well, Kevin. Just so, you know, for our listeners, they know that it's achievable. If you stay focused, you have a clear plan, and you've got the right support, you can make it.
Well said, Chris. Almost like a man who knows what he's doing.
Well, I've enjoyed that, Kevin. And thank you for listening to us again today. We'll see you same time, same place next week.
Until then, my friend, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.